Gentlemen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've been immune to this either. I think all of us can say that we've been in the situation before where we were just infatuated with the woman. We wanted to make it work. We wanted to do anything we possibly could make it work. But guess what? It didn't work. And we often blamed ourselves. We thought we were the problem until we realized something. We were half right. We were half the problem because we kept trying to make it work. Despite the fact that every single sign told us, no, jump ship. No, 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 you're about to hit the reef. Get out. Which we never did. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed. My friends, I want to welcome you to the show. And I think today we need to discuss a subject that's extremely important and something that's often overlooked by a lot of people, and that subject matter is how women can make or break men. You know, it's very easy to talk about hypergamy, it's easy to talk about monkey branching, it's easy to talk about how when relationships go bad, this is what happens. When a relationship goes good, this is what happens. It's very easy to paint these two as if this is the only two options that you have. Like, there's only good and there's only bad. When there's a lot of gray area, number one. And number two, people don't like to highlight what the effects are. The reason this is because a lot of people who experience this, they don't talk about it. A lot of people who are married, whether they be men or women, they don't talk about their marriage very much. If they do, they usually only talk about the good stuff. They don't talk about the hard times. And if they do, it was like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. They don't talk about what's currently going bad now, how it's going to be fixed, or if it even can be fixed. And if it fails, what is the fallout? What happens? What did it look like? It's very easy to say, oh, so-and-so was cheating, or they did this, or they did that, or they didn't do that, or they didn't do this. It's very easy to just blame it on one thing, or it's very easy to say that women ruin men, or women can only make men, or it's only men's fault, or it's only women's fault, or whatever. It's very easy to just take extremes. But in doing so, when we only take extremes, we fail to see the bouncing ball. We fail to see the writing on the wall, and we fail to fully grasp everything from the situation that can be gleaned. And in doing so, we leave opportunity on the table. So what we're going to do today is we're going to focus our time and attention on one Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, you may have heard about him in history class. You might not have. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about Napoleon Bonaparte, and we're going to focus on who he was and how his relationship with his wife Josephine affected his ascension to being Emperor of the French, and how it eventually led to his downfall in a way that maybe you don't know. Let's get into it. Leave your thoughts, your comments, your opinions, anything. Let me know in the comments below what you think about what we have discussed or what we will discuss. That's important. Let's get started.
Napoleon Bonaparte, the man who conquered the world, was unable to fully capture the heart of his wife, Josephine. Josephine, Napoleon's wife with whom he entered a political marriage, was known for being distant and unfaithful. Despite Napoleon constantly writing love letters to her during his military campaigns, expressing sentiments like, "Every moment separates me further from you, my beloved, and every moment I have less energy to exist so far from you. You are the constant object of my thoughts." Despite Napoleon pouring his heart into his letters, Josephine rarely reciprocated. With this knowledge, Napoleon continued to write, stating, "I am not satisfied with your last letter. It is cold as friendship." Upon discovering more about Josephine's infidelity, he continued, "I don't love you anymore. On the contrary, I detest you. You are a vile, mean, beastly wench. You don't write to me at all. You don't love your husband." Despite his one-sided love, he would follow up with, "Sorry. I hope I will be holding you in my arms. Then I will cover you with a million hot kisses, burning like the equator." Despite Napoleon's efforts, he never managed to fully capture his wife's heart, leading to their eventual divorce. Even on his deathbed, it was said that Napoleon's last breath was spent saying his wife's name, Josephine.
My gosh, brothers.
Thank you for being so dumb.
Can you believe this? I hope you can. Because I can guarantee you a lot of you have been not in this exact situation. You were an emperor and you were in this exact situation. But how many of you can relate to that story? Where no matter how much work you put in, no matter how many times you wrote a letter, you sent the text message, you sent the good morning text, you told her how much you love her, how much she meant to you, that it just didn't make any sort of difference. All it did was make you feel like you were crazy, unwanted, like you were the problem. Meanwhile, you were the one putting in the effort. My friends, I can guarantee you, as I sit here on this program right now, there are millions, and I mean millions with an M, millions of men who are in this exact situation right now. They're trying to make their marriage work, they're trying to make their relationship work, and they can't do it. Not because they're not trying hard enough, not because they're not actively making an effort, not because they're not doing everything within their power to make this relationship work, or to treat her right, treat her with respect, do all these things. It's because she doesn't care about him, and she's using him in plain English. Oh, make no mistake, my friends. Women do use men, especially men that they used to care about, who they've kind of slowly fallen out of love with. Let me explain it like this. I think this is a good example. We as men have something called post-nut clarity, where when we, quote, come to our senses, no pun intended, we get that perspective that we didn't have 5 minutes ago. 5 minutes ago, we overlooked the fact that she had tons of tattoos. We looked over the fact that maybe she was a little masculine, a little toxic. We looked over it. Looked over the fact that maybe she was a single mother, which is what his wife was, by the way. His wife was a single mother. We'll ignore that. For the time being, anyway, we'll ignore that. That's a... Again, this is what I'm talking about. One of the best military leaders in modern history, Napoleon Bonaparte, despite all of his achievements, becoming an emperor. He was not born as a prince, as a duke, as nothing. I think he was maybe low-ranking nobility, if that. And then he, in his own words, found the French crown in the gutters of France, picked it up, and put it on his head. And that man couldn't beat hypergamy. That man couldn't overcome the love that he wanted and he couldn't get from the woman that he loved and even married, by the way. Gentlemen, this is why it's important that we understand the power that relationships have over us as men. We don't understand how much time and energy and attention and sanity and money that we spend in the active pursuit of love, lust, conquest, whatever you want to call it, whatever label you want to put, all of these things, we spend so much time and energy. And even though Napoleon, in spite, not because, but in spite of his wife and her infidelity, which was not mentioned, but we will talk about it in the next video, she cheated on him not once, but multiple times. He forgave her and moved on, by the way. Oh, yeah, they left that part out. But she cheated on him multiple times as he was actively conquering Europe and Egypt and all these places. His wife was cheating on him. Gentlemen, let me tell you something. Nobody's safe out here. I don't care if you're a tech CEO like Elon Musk or you're the guy working at Burger King. You are not safe out here. And this is why I don't encourage you, and a lot of other men, they don't encourage you to invest in other people like that, especially in women romantically, because at the end of the day, there is no guarantee on that investment. And my friends, we're going to go to the next video. I think we'll shed some light on the subject. Let's go to the next video. Let me know what you think. Let's get started.
Why did one of history's greatest military leaders fall head over heels for a woman who didn't love him back? Napoleon Bonaparte and Joséphine de Beauharnais, a love story marked by passion and ambition. When Napoleon met Joséphine, he was captivated instantly, despite her being 6 years his senior and a widow with two children. Joséphine, on the other hand, wasn't immediately taken by Napoleon. She saw him as a stepping stone to power and stability.
Let's pause it right there. Let's pause it right there. Don't worry, we'll finish the video. Let's pause it right there. Gentlemen, Women will never outright tell you this. Why? Because then you can be like, whoa, well, I don't want to be a stepping stone. That sounds terrible. Why would I sign up for that? If people knew this going into their relationship, I can guarantee you they wouldn't take the deal. But because they are not told this, because they're like, oh, no, I love you. No, I want to be with you. I want to be your ride or die. I want to fall in love with you. I want to do this. I want to be there for you. I want to be your forever person. I want you to be your soulmate. People fall for this. It's mainly men. Men are very big romantics, by the way. In case you don't know that, a lot of men are very romantic. And you can even see this in how Napoleon, as an example, wrote countless love letters. Not one, not two, not ten, probably hundreds of love letters to his wife while he was going all over Europe, all over Russia, all over Egypt. He was thinking about how much he loved his wife. Meanwhile, she mainly responded with, oh yeah, you know, thank you, whatever. Like, very, like, platonic and empty messages in return. Gentlemen, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that I've been immune to this either. I think all of us can say that we've been in the situation before where we were just infatuated with the woman. We wanted to make it work. We wanted to do anything we possibly could make it work. But guess what? It didn't work, and we often blamed ourselves. We thought we were the problem until we realized something. We were half right. We were half the problem because we kept trying to make it work despite the fact that every single sign told us, nah, jump ship. No, you're about to hit the reef. Get out. Which we never did. And this is why I tell you that women can make or break you, which is why you got to be careful with who you associate with. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, just find the right one. No. Because everybody thinks they found the right one. That advice is complete crap. It's terrible. Nobody walks in and says, yeah, man, I know this relationship, you know, is definitely not going to work out, but I'm still going to do it anyway because, you know what, why not? Let's do it. Nobody does that. No, everybody walks in and says, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to break the odds. I'm going to make it work. It's going to be great. But unfortunately, not even guys like Napoleon can make this work. Now, does that mean your chances are impossible? No, comma, but improbable. Let's continue.
Their marriage in 1796 was a strategic alliance, merging Napoleon's rising power with Josephine's social connections. Napoleon's love letters to Josephine were filled with longing and passion, often written from battlefields. Yet their relationship was strained. Napoleon's military campaigns kept him away, leading Josephine to seek affection elsewhere. The turning point came in 1804 when Napoleon crowned himself emperor and Josephine became empress.
You know what's funny? And by funny, I mean incredibly tragic and disgusting. In the comment section of the video that we are listening to right now, you look in that comment section, there is a woman who is blaming Napoleon for her actions. You heard me right. She's saying, oh, he wasn't around. It's his fault. And I sit here and I'm like, this is an emperor that we're talking about. This isn't some sports guy. This isn't some, upstart millionaire guy. This isn't some inheritance case. No, this is a guy who literally worked his way out of Nowhereville to become an emperor of the French. And people are still telling you that it's his fault. Oh, he was out conquering the world. Oh, he wasn't there for his wife. Guys, you can't win. Okay? If people want to fault you, they gonna fault you. It doesn't matter how much work you put in. It doesn't matter what you do. You can't pitch a shutout. So stop trying to do that. Don't try it. If you can't even do what Napoleon is doing, and yet you want better results than him, granted, his choice as a woman was absolutely atrocious. This is true. He should have known what he was signing up for. However, that is not an excuse for her behavior, and it is definitely not an excuse. Should not be an excuse for anybody to blame him when he was doing everything he could to make it work. How many times have you been in that situation, gentlemen? Let me know. I know some of you have been married who listen to the show, and I know some of you have been getting divorced or are currently divorced. Please sound off and let me know. Reclaim, I'm looking at you. I know you've been married. Eric, I know you've been married. Guys, I'm serious. let me know, because this is incredibly important. We need to inform both young, middle, and older-aged men that there are famous examples of this, where the dude was totally simping out in front of the world to see. He was doing everything, and in spite of all the turmoil, he still accomplished a lot, but he couldn't do the one thing he wanted, which was find love. He couldn't afford it. Let's continue.
However, their inability to produce an heir led to their eventual divorce in 1810. Despite their separation, Napoleon's last words on his deathbed were, "France, army, head of the army, Josephine." It's a tale that shows love doesn't always conquer all, especially when it intersects with power and ambition. Napoleon often signed his letters to Josephine with 1,000 kisses. Despite their turbulent relationship, Josephine was Napoleon's true love, a fact he never hid. After their divorce, Josephine continued to live a luxurious life, often hosting extravagant parties. Napoleon reportedly said, "I win battles, but Josephine wins hearts." Even after marrying another woman, Napoleon's letters show he never forgot Josephine.
Gentlemen, let me ask you a question. What do you think that Napoleon could have done differently? Could he have made it work? But different question. What else do you think he could have done in this life if he had been completely focused on his goals and not been taken off his goals by his wife? He was distracted. He was fighting a war on two fronts. Imagine if he wasn't. How much more do you think he could have done? Now let's turn it back onto you for a second. What in your life could you do if you weren't fighting a war on two fronts? If you weren't trying to both find a woman, get the woman you like to like you back or love you or whatever, and pursue the goals that you have for yourself, whether it be professionally, whether it be the aspirations that you want to build a business, you want to get the job that you've always wanted, you want to get the education to get the career that you want, you want to get the dream body that you want. I don't know what it is. But imagine if you put aside the war that you think you ought to fight, which is the war of romance, because love is war. The pursuit of love is an act of war. Versus if you look on it, imagine not fighting a war on two fronts. Imagine what you could do in this life. Let me ask you that. Is it worth it to you? If the answer is yes, well, then be prepared to pay a high price. Just be aware of that. And that's why I think relationships are so important. Because when we look at these statistics, I think it was, I'm going to be really eating myself up for this one. Who was it that told me to look up the self-deletion statistics? Was it Eric? Was it Reclaim? No. I think it was ASMR. I think it was you, brother, who brought this one up to me, and I appreciate that. Let's look at this. September is the self-deletion and preservation month. The suicide is its 12th leading cause of death overall in the United States. 79% of people who commit suicide are male, of which 79%, since of that 79%, men who have been divorced are 9 times more likely to commit suicide as compared to divorced women. And then when you look at the fact that the women are the ones statistically filing the divorces, 5 years ago they said it wasn't true, now you can find it on the front page of Google when you look up the divorce statistics. Gentlemen, again, let's go back to the war on two fronts for a second. You want to sit here and tell me this is not a war? You are at active risk if you get divorced. This is an active risk to you, your future, your children's future if you have any. Gentlemen, imagine if you can minimize this risk, get rid of it by not fighting a war on two fronts, going your own way, whether it's you want to be a biblical bachelor like me, or you want to go on your own route. You can do those things. You can go passport bro, free agent, shout out to CGA. You could do any one of these things. Well, my friends, I think you need to make this choice for yourself. I can't make it for you. Nobody else can make it for you. You need to decide. Do you want to keep fighting a war on two fronts? Do you want to risk the make or break? Or do you want to go your own way? Have you decided that you're not going to just fight that war on two fronts? You're going to go your own way and do your own thing? Or are you going to jump back in the fray and fight that war and hopefully you can win? If that's even possible anymore. That is your choice to make. But my friends, in the meantime, I will let you make that choice. Let me know what you think. Let me know what your thoughts are on Napoleon, or if you have other historical examples of men who've encountered this type of problem, let me know. I can cover it if you want. But I wanted to bring up Napoleon Bonaparte in particular because, to me, I like a lot of his quotes, number one. Number two, I think he's a very interesting case of a man who was trying to make himself great and who arguably did, but he could have made himself a legend if he had not been kneecapped by his supposed greatest ally, which was his wife. Let me know what you have want to say. Let me know what you think. My friends, in the meantime, you take care of yourselves. Think for yourself. Be aware of your surroundings and who is actively trying to exploit you, because I can guarantee you they're out there. Take care. I'm out. Peace.